Ask you if you will, meet me in Proverbs chapter 18. And I'm going to read two passages of scripture. My goal was to kind of work our way through the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a book that I think to a large degree preached and discussed better in large swaths and thematically. And so I'm going to take our attention through variety of pages and verses in Proverbs on the subject of friendship. To get us started, I'm going to read from verse 24 of chapter 18 and verse 17 of chapter 17. Here's God's word for us. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And then verse 17 of chapter 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Pray again with me, please. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this word that we've heard, these two verses, and the word we have before us, and we'll be in it throughout this sermon. Lord, we pray that you will minister it to our souls. You will encourage our hearts and strengthen us according to your will. We ask all these things in Christ's name, and hide me behind your cross that you may be seen and glorified. For it is in Christ we pray. Amen. Loneliness, according to a recent Surgeon General report prior to the COVID-19 pandemic. So I think that probably after the pandemic, we would hear something a little different. But loneliness, according to a Surgeon General's report in 2017, loneliness has become the greatest threat to public health in the United States of America. It's reached epidemic proportions. Its consequences are more and more clear every day. Now, add to that a pandemic that has taken place after that statement was made, where we were forced to isolate, we were forced to be removed from one another. We were pulled away, we became more individualistic, we're more connected than ever, but yet we are less relational than ever. Ideas and qualities of our society like isolation, individualism, privatization, autonomy, self-autonomy, and then, of course, mobility are characteristics that have a lot of positive context and positive impacts in our lives. They have unprecedented power and ability to gain wealth and to grow wealth and opportunity and connectivity, but they come at a significant cost. And I don't think any of us would argue with that, and I could give you statistics, but I think all of us from our own experiences probably know that physical, emotional, mental health has suffered from loneliness and the cost of isolation, privatization, autonomy, and mobility and rugged individualism. I think all of us would recognize that our society is fragmented, perhaps more fragmented than many of us have ever known. Not saying it's more fragmented than ever, but certainly many of us have known in our lifetime it is more fragmented. I don't think any of us would argue that politics and political lines have been entrenched one way or the other. People are angry with one another. Violence is on the rise. Physical health is suffering as much as physical health is suffering as much as mental health. We know that loneliness and isolation has had a tendency to push people over the edge with anxiety and depression and all kinds of other anxiety-related disorders, mental health problems. But we also know that loneliness has increased risk of cardiovascular disease, stroke, the progression of Alzheimer's disease and dementia, as well as premature death, often by means of suicide. Consequences are great. For all the positives, the consequences are great. Leads me to think kind of through the teaching of Proverbs and recognize that Proverbs was a book written by Solomon to his sons to teach his sons how to have a faithful and wise life. And as he taught his sons and subsequently teaches us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he tells us something very important about the dangers of loneliness, but he doesn't give us a warning of loneliness. Rather, he extols the virtue of friendship. Basically, the argument that Solomon makes throughout the book of Proverbs is that good and faithful friendships are blessings from God and necessary for our physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual health. God, to live a good life, we must have good friends. We must have and involve ourselves in good, faithful relationships, those who can encourage us along the way. Because without good and faithful friends, We will not live as God intends us to live. We will not be fulfilled. Rather, we'll be lonely and unhealthy individuals, but especially unhealthy Christians. So my goal is to take us through the book of Proverbs and understand the teaching that Solomon gives to us regarding friendship and the importance of it, and to challenge us as we live our lives to, one, see our friends as gifts from God and to pray for them, but two, to challenge us to make faithful friends if we do not have them, and three, to base those friendships upon the teachings of God's Word, which is wisdom not just for the Christian, but wisdom for all people. And so, to get us started this morning, I want to turn our attention to the book of Proverbs, particularly to those two verses that I've read already, chapter 18, verse 24, chapter 17, verse 17, and help us understand the foundation of a good, faithful friendship. If we're going to talk about those kinds of friendships the Bible extols, then certainly we must understand what kind of friends we should have and what is the foundation of that friendship. So when I read those two verses, let me read them again. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And then verse 17 of chapter 17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. The foundation of a good, faithful friendship, a true friendship, a friendship that is going to help carry you through the darkest hours and provide companionship in this life, and I'm speaking primarily of friendships with those of the same gender. A friendship has got to be based upon love. There is a reason why that Solomon connects friendship with brothers, with family members, with siblings. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A man with many companions, a man with many acquaintances may come to ruin, but there is a friend. If you have a few friends, they will stick closer than a brother. The foundation of any biblical friendship has got to be love. Now, we understand this in the context of the teachings of the Bible, but also in our experience in our lives. Our friends are those that we've held on to. Some of us have had friends for years and years and years. And if we've held on to those friendships for years and years and years, we know that we love each other. And we may even use the phrase brothers or the phrase sisters to refer to those who are closest to us. But unfortunately, in our world today, the idea of love, the concept of love, has become very much an ambiguous statement. And so when we think about, well, you just need to love, it's become a general characteristic, a general quality of life that oftentimes is self-directed. When we think about, well, you just need to love other people, typically we use that phrase to refer to our own lives and to challenge you to love us and to accept us as we are. And so it's love has become a term that is an all-inclusive term that includes with it acceptance of every type of life and every type of behavior, righteous or evil, normal or deviant. So we've got to define the kind of love that the Bible speaks of here when it refers to friendship and the basis of it. And the answer to the question of what is the foundation is not just love, it is actually the love of God as it is lived out in the life of a Christian, in the lives of those who follow after Him. The love of God as it's lived out in this world, lived out in our lives, I should say. Now, Paul extols that kind of love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So let me just read this to you. It's the love chapter when Paul says, if I give away all that I have and deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Then he extols love. And this is the kind of love that he is talking about with reference to God's love for us and the love we are to have for each other within the context of the church and the love we are to have for our friends. It is this love that forms the foundation of true friendships. Love is patient and love is kind. Love does not boast and it does not envy. It is not arrogant and it is not rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable and it is not resentful. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And then in verse 13 he says, so now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. The idea of God's love, a self-sacrificial love, an unconditional love, a love that is patient and kind, a love that doesn't envy and doesn't boast about itself, a love that has other people's best interest at heart, a love that believes the best in those whom one loves. It's not irritable, it's not resentful. It's a love that believes and bears and hopes and endures for one another, a love that never ends. It's this lasting quality because, after all, God Himself is love. And that's why love is the only lasting quality of these three. They're faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love because God Himself is love, 1 John chapter 4 tells us. And so God is love, and when we love in this way, we demonstrate the love of God. And it is that kind of love which binds men together as brothers. It is that kind of love which binds women together as sisters. It is that kind of love that oftentimes will give your closest friends a desire to be with you in the greatest of challenges and the great crises and to be there to support you and have your back through the process and not betray you when maybe even your own family will fall away. If oftentimes the bond of the love of God at work between two Christians in friendship is stronger than the bond of blood. We say nothing's stronger than blood. But we all probably have instances in our lives where family members haven't been as prominent and prevalent and present as our best friends along the way. And so we understand by experience that the love of God is the basis upon which we build our friendships. Now, Solomon goes on to explain this a little further when he talks about different ways in which, or different things upon which we can build our friendships. Let me just give you a few. Verse 12, verse 26 of chapter 12, Solomon says this to his son regarding friendships. And he says, friendships built on folly or unrighteousness will fade away. Verse 26 of chapter 12 says this. One who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them both astray. So building our relationships upon wickedness or folly, though we may think those are things that we should get excited about, will ultimately lead us astray. Relationships built upon wealth will collapse as well, as we find in chapter 19, verses 4 and 6. Wealth brings many new friends, right? Which rich man has a lot of friends, a lot of acquaintances. You can hear these famous athletes talk about all the people who came out of the woodshed. I heard when they got famous, I heard of a man who won the lottery over $1 million. And he told me, this is a personal friend, he told me, he said, I had family members I'd never met before. Wealth brings many friends, but a poor man is deserted by his friend. Wealth brings many friends, but the crisis comes and it collapses. Or verse 6 says, many seek the favor of a generous man, and everyone who is a friend to a man who gives gifts. Everyone's friend to the man who gives gifts with wealth, but when the crisis comes and the money dries up, you got to go home, put your toes in the sand, to use the Zac Brown song. Friendships built upon sinful and unrighteous behaviors will also collapse. Verse 16 says this, friends that we're close to and we have life and we think we're really good friends with, and yet when life continues on, they will fall away. Verse 29, a man of violence entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. But whoever winks his eyes plans dishonest things. He who pursues his lips brings evil to pass. Ultimately, friendships that are built upon sin will collapse as well. And then the rebellious, and this is something that we see all the time in our society. I'm going to build a friendship with someone, and our common dislike for someone else or rebellion against someone else, they will oftentimes fade away. Verse 24, beginning in verse 21 of chapter 24, this is what Proverbs says. My son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not join with those who do otherwise, for disaster will arise suddenly from them, and who knows the ruin that will come from them both. Fear the Lord. In rebellion to the Lord, you build that relationship, that coalition, and it will ultimately collapse. We're seeing that in our society today as people who join together in more recent years to rebel against the establishment, as it were, are now, their coalitions are divided and they're rebelling against one another. because that bond is not strong. The union of your hatred towards someone else, your rebellion, will not carry you through. Only your love for one another. Friends are incredible gifts of God based upon the foundation of friendship. So we know we base our foundation, our friendship, upon the love that God has given to us and our love for one another. And we all know that that is by definition going to be a few people rather than a lot, right? We're going to have a few friends that are with us along the way. We have many acquaintances, but we're going to have a few who stick it out with us and maintain the balance of our lives. So what are some of the characteristics of the Proverbs or that Solomon tells us that should be found in our friendships? Well, first of all, and in no surprise to anyone, back in these verses that I read, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity, and a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer to you than a brother. No surprise, the first characteristic has got to be loyalty. Loyalty. A friend has got to be someone who is loyal to you, built upon the foundation of God's love, but is loyal because the love of God is loyal, because they're committed to you. They're with you through thick and thin. They're with you through the ups and the downs of life. They're not going to turn their back. And in a world of disloyalty, if I could say that I think one of the things that's been most disappointing to me that I've seen take place in the last 10 to 15 years in our society is the reduction of loyalty and the increase of disloyalty. People are loyal to themselves and themselves only. And you can find someone who will stick it out and say, I got your back. Much like the Arkansas softball player yesterday who made an incredible catch going away from the, to kind of seal up an inning, going away from home plate as she was on a run in right field, and her pitcher looked at her and said, how did you do it? And she said, I got you. We need people in our lives who have us our back and say, I got you at all times. I got you. Loyalty. And also, friends, characteristics are keep confidence, right? We need people who are not going to be gossips and not spread our business all over the place, but rather keep our confidence. If you can't trust your friend, then they're no friend at all. Verse 9 and 10 of chapter 25 say this, argue your case with your neighbor himself, and do not reveal another's secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you and your ill repute have no end. The ill repute comes from your lack of confidence, from your being a gossip and breaking the bonds of a friendship. We got to be loyal. We got to have confidence and keep each other's confidence. A friend also is a person who can control his or her tongue in your life. Chapter 11, verse 9 says this, and this is important in our biting society that always wants to get at each other and always wants to get over on one another, something we can demonstrate in the way we live our lives as faithful followers of Christ, but also something that all of us should strive to do more and more. Verse 9 says, with his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge, the righteous are delivered. And then in verse 12 of chapter 11, we find these words, whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. A person who has control over his or her tongue. James says that this tongue is a divisive instrument. For 1 minute it's praising God, the next minute it's cursing man. A friend is someone who's loyal. Out of love. A friend is someone who is going to keep your confidence out of love. A friend is someone who's going to control his or her tongue out of love. But a friend's not going to just simply accept you as you are if you are living a life that is falling away from the right and true way to live your life. A friend is someone who loves you enough to honestly challenge you and say, listen, you need to get it together here. Wounds from a friend are easy to take because you know they come out of love. Verse 9 of chapter 27 says, oil and perfume make a heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Sometimes we have to be counseled. And then verse 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. The flattery of your enemy is profuse, and the friend may wound you, but they are faithful in their wounding of you to challenge you and to rebuke you and to say, no, you need to walk in a different way. You need to get it together. No, you need to stick it out. I was having a lunch about 5 years ago with a friend of mine and another friend of mine. There were two of us sitting there, and one of them had been griping for about 3 years about a situation that he was in at work. And one of my other friends, I couldn't believe he said it, looked at him and said, well, maybe it's time to leave. Maybe it's time for you to resign and go find something else to do. That's the kind of wound that is necessary. And the counsel that we need from those who love us and care for us, who provide counsel and encouragement. And sometimes that counsel is pleasant, like oil and perfume. And sometimes it's really hard. And so we know that phrase, that line in chapter 27, iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron. The test of the hardness of a knife, the hardness of a blade, is found in the iron being placed to that blade to see if it will crumble. Iron sharpens iron. And sometimes it's hard, but you know what? When your friend comes to you who's going to keep your confidence, who's going to love you, who's going to be loyal, and has proven that, you know you can take that challenge. The last one is there is tact and sensitivity. We have to know our limits, and I'm not going to read these verses to us, but we have to know our limits, we have to be honest with each other, and we have to meet each other in our moments of sorrow. Friends are those who meet us where we are and are there with us, and they have tact, they have sensitivity, and their honesty, and they know their limits. We all have friends, I pray, in our lives where we know the limits of our friendship. And we know what we can and can't say and what we should and shouldn't say. And so we're able to challenge each other with grace and mercy because we love one another. And no means do you just get to just be a jerk in any kind of friendship. That's not a friendship. You can challenge, but you do it with grace, tact, keeping a control of your tongue. So what do we do as we wrap this up? Well, I'm not going to take a lot of time. Let me just give you a few points of application. I'll send these out in the virtual chatter. Let me give you a few points of application as to how we can learn to develop these friends. And we need these kinds of friends. Some of you have them and you need to strengthen them. And some of us don't have them and we've pulled away from our friends and we become isolated the older we get. We need to reach back out and build those friendships. First of all, you can pray. We can pray for two things. First, we pray that God's help in effecting inward changes that will expand our capacities for friendships. And second, we pray for opportunities to develop those friendships. Pray that God would make you more capable of having friends and that he will provide you opportunities to build biblical friendships. We can be friendly, you know? Some of us want friends, but we're standoffish, we're isolated. We can be friendly. Make sure you're being friendly. Be constantly cheerful. Ask questions. Put yourselves in situations where friendships happen. Take an interest in other people's lives. Be friendly. Be supportive. Be loyal. Place an importance on friendships. Our lives get very busy. We focus in on the things of this world. We focus in on climbing ladders. We focus in on managing money. We focus in on cutting grass. We focus in on making sure everything looks just right. But we got to place an importance on friendships. Not more important in your family, but they should be very important to you in your life. Affirm and listen, number four. Be an encourager of other people. You know, encourage your friends. Don't result to flattery, but take time to encourage your friends. So, you know, we can know the difference between, hey man, I really appreciate you. Hey, listen, you're such a great friend. I appreciate that. Versus, you're the best friend ever, and you're the most wonderful person ever, and thank you so much for considering me lucky enough to be a friend with you. That's flattering. That's not going to get anywhere. But hey man, I appreciate you. I appreciate your loyalty. I appreciate your willingness to support me. I appreciate you always listening to me. Thank you so much. Be honest and encouraging. It's amazing. You'll make more friends doing that than anything else. And the world would be a better place if we would do more of that. And then you need to be welcoming. Be a welcoming person. Be a person that welcomes other people into your life. Be a person who's listening. Don't be sarcastic to everybody. I always put people down. That's hard for us men, I will say that. Let me just say that out front. Because part of the way, as Cran said, his best friends were the ones he fights with. Fight club at the 8-year-old birthday party. I like it. But that's what boys do. And that's what men do. Men pick. If I'm not picking on you, I don't love you. Or you've told me to stop picking on you, and I don't know how to treat you. So that's what we do, but we got to be careful not to do that all the time. There are times we need to be sensitive and encouraging and welcoming and honest and gracious and kind to one another. Why does all this matter? Because friendships are God's gift to help us fight off loneliness. Male-to-male friendships, female-to-female friendships are essentially important. The struggles we face in this life are different, and we need somebody who understands them. Our spouses are our most intimate friends, but our spouses don't know intuitively the challenges that come from being a woman in this society. Our spouses don't know intuitively the challenges that come with being a man and striving to be faithful in this society. We need those who do, and those who love us enough to challenge us and be gracious to us and encourage us, and we need to be that kind of person to others as well. God has given us a tremendous gift, but the most wonderful thing and teaching on friendship in the Bible is when Jesus looks at his own disciples in John chapter 15 and says, "Greater love hath none than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Our Lord Jesus Christ is a friend of sinners." And so we always have that friendship with him. But he is also an incredible model to challenge us to be friends with other people and to show us how to be friends based upon the unconditional sacrificial love of God lived out in this world. So I challenge us this morning. Come to know the friendship of Christ in our lives. Trust him and walk with him, and then live out and bear fruit in keeping with his commandments. And ministering his love to the world and being transformed by his love, bear fruit by making good and faithful friends and being good and faithful friends and cherishing your good and faithful friends as you live this life for the sake and the glory of Jesus. If you have a happy family and a few close friends and roots where you live and opportunities to serve Christ, you are blessed beyond measure. May we learn to love God, love people, live quietly, be good friends, and work hard to provide an opportunity for people to see Jesus in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time together. We thank you for your grace and your love. We thank you for the friends you've given to us. We know that Christ Jesus is our greatest friend. And as we have sung, "Jesus, what a friend for sinners," and we're going to finish with "What a friend we have in Jesus." Our prayer is that we will strive to be the same kinds of friends to other people. And we pray, Lord, that we will cherish those in our lives who are those kinds of friends to us. And we will take the moment today to tell them thank you. And let them know how much we appreciate their friendship. Because a friend sticks closer than a brother or a sister. In the times of trouble, our companions and acquaintances will fall away. But our friends will prove true to the end. For they are loyal because the friendship is based upon the love of Christ. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we pray. Amen.